Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crane, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
You know, I want to talk today about being led into the temptation of unforgiveness, of taking the offense and holding on to it. And in Matthew 18, verse 7, it has a scripture. It says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to the man by whom the offenses come." Woe to the man by whom the offenses come means don't be a jerk. You know what? We don't like it when we're a jerk. We don't like it when other people are a jerk. So like when that jerk comes up to you and they're just like in the grocery checkout line and they've had a bad day and they want to make sure that you have a bad day and they just start like, "Wah, wah, wah, yeah, 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 yeah. This doesn't have price. You can't buy that. This isn't on sale. I don't care if you have a coupon. This coupon's expired." And they try to offend you, but just let it go. And God's saying, "Whoa, they shouldn't be that way anyway." Because some people are born kind of just mean. Other people are really nice people, and they've had a day, like, with hair on it. And by the time they get to you, they're just, like, done. Other people have had a whole year with hair on it. And by the time they get to you, oh, they've already made 27 other people mad because they're just having a bad day. Everybody say, bad day. So even when we're having a bad day, God says, don't walk around offending other people. But when those people come, because they're coming. And that makes me think of a movie that I do not understand why my parents let me watch this movie when I was little. It made me scared to swim in any body of water. I did not want to get in the lake. Dun, dun. The swimming pool, especially at night, was terrifying, right? You see the glistening water of the swimming pool at night, and all you hear is, dun, dun. You get into the bathtub. You're six. You have your little bathtub toys. You're playing and everything is fine until one of those little toys accidentally taps you in the back. Dun-dun. That's what I hear when I read this scripture. It says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, because offenses must come." Dun-dun. Look to your right now. They could be it. Look to your left. That could be the person who cuts you off in the church parking lot before you even leave. Dun, dun. You are being circled by offenses at this very moment. I mean, just think right now. Can you think of someone or something that just you think of it right now and it ticks you off? Just raise your hand. Like, oh yeah, I know that thing. It ticks me off. Why do we do that? I mean, why do we hold on to that stuff? Some of the wounds are really old. They're like our parents didn't treat us right or abused us, or maybe a teacher like made fun of us in front of the whole class, or maybe it's something that happened like just really recently. You lent somebody some money and they went and bought a new car and they're driving down the street. You're like, "You owe me money, man. What are you doing?" Some friends took a trip a weekend getaway to the lake. They didn't invite you. They come back and part of you is hurt and part of you wants to cry. The other part is bitter and the other part of you wants to fight. You want to throw it on you like Pink. You know that song? Na, 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 na. I want to start a fight. I wore my combat boots. I'm ready. I'm all tough just because I have combat boots on. Do not mess with me. I made yellow belt, which is the one above white. In case you didn't know. But offenses are going to come, and the word in that scripture is woe, W-O-E. W-O-E means like cry, sad. Oh, it's horrible. These offenses are going to come. But Pastor Dave and I, we raised horses before we were pastors, and when I see this scripture, I like to think of the word woe, and woe means you do hold on to the reins, and woe, you make the situation stop so it doesn't get out of control. Which reminds me of another pastor joke. There's this pastor, and he raises horses. And this is not a true story. And this pastor raises horses. He's got this guy in his congregation who's making him nutso crazy. I mean, he's mean to everybody. He's constantly causing trouble. His brother Bucket Mouth complains about everything. So he says, "You know what? I'm going to put him on one of my special horses." So he gets him and he puts him on this horse and he says, "Praise the Lord." And that horse just takes off. And brother Bucket Mouth doesn't know what's going on. He's yelling, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." And nothing's happening. Because this pastor taught his horse to take off when you say, "Praise the Lord," not "Giddy up." And he taught him to stop when you say, "Hallelujah," not "Whoa." So it's all fun and games. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Until the guy starts heading for a cliff. at a rapid speed, this big, huge drop-off. He's like, Pastor! Pastor! And Pastor John, say hallelujah! He's like, why? Make the horse stop. He's like, say hallelujah! He gets the edge and he says, hallelujah! And the horse goes, and stops right at the edge of the cliff. God bless you. The guy on the horse says, praise the Lord! So why do we hold on? Why don't we just say, whoa, no offense for me, thank you, I'm going to let it pass by. Why do we hold on to offense? Why do we hold on to unforgiveness? And I think a lot of it is because we're scared, and a lot of it is because we're angry. You know, we're scared. Well, if I don't keep this in my heart and in my head, maybe it'll happen to me again. If I don't remember what this is like, maybe it'll happen to someone I know. I need to keep this in the forefront of my mind to protect everyone from this happening. Or we're angry. We're like, that's not fair. They have to pay. Somebody needs to take care of them. Somebody needs to take care of this situation. Make sure that this is vindicated and justified. But all it does is it makes us like a clenched fist. So right now, everybody, take one fist and hold it up like this. Like, this is comfortable, right? This is no big deal. But I want you to squeeze it so tight. See how my arm is shaking a little bit? Squeeze it that tight and hold it. Don't stop. If your arm's not shaking, squeeze it a little tighter. Because unforgiveness leads to bitterness and resentment. Bitterness and resentment does this to your heart, like physically. It does this to your blood pressure. It does this to your stomach. It does this to your pancreas. It does this to the cells that release cancer. See, y'all are quitting because it's uncomfortable. But we walk through life clenched up. You can stop. We walk through life clenched up like this on the inside. And then we wonder, why do I have blood pressure? Why did I get that tumor? Why can't I sleep good at night? Why am I having chest palpitations? Why am I just, I don't mean to be angry. I don't mean to flash mad. It's because we're clenched up. And God doesn't want us to live life clenched up, because when we live life clenched up, it just leads to sticky situations. Everybody say sticky situations. You see, sticky situations are things we don't mean to get ourselves into, we just do. And when you go to a sticky situation, sometimes you got to flash back to 1995 and the scrunchie. Anybody remember the scrunchie? Sometimes you need a little help from the 90s, and you think, you know what, I see this sticky situation coming up in my life, but I don't want it to affect me, so I'm just going to protect myself. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to protect myself. So I'm just going to put my stuff on, and I'm just going to be fine. I'm just going to think these thoughts about them. I'm not going to forgive them, but I'm going to put on my Jesus pin. I'm going to put my bumper sticker on my car. I'm going to carry my Bible. See, I'll just be protected because I put on all my Jesus juke. Because really, that's what being a Christian is. I just show up to church and act any way I want to. But since I came to church, it's okay. Amen. In Jesus' name. So we think we're getting ourselves all geared up. We think we're getting ourselves all protected. But really, we're just walking right in to a den of poison and problem. And God's like, you know, I see what you're doing. And it's really cute. I mean, that little raincoat looks like you're going to go singing in the rain. He's like, but you're not headed for singing in the rain. You're singing for that. You're headed, whoa, I'm going to fall. We are not built for this, people. You know, y'all thought I was graceful. I'm not. If you ever have a gymnastics team, don't ask me to be on it. I'm 6 foot tall and a girl. Those two things do not go together. But Gwen Stefani sings that song. She's only happy when it rains. She's only happy when it's complicated. You can't even sing that song with a smile. It makes you look like this. God doesn't want us to look like this. God doesn't want us to walk around looking funky. Even as I'm getting ready for what I think might offend me, I already look weird, right? I don't look normal. How many of y'all want to go through life looking like this? Oh, no hands? Go figure. But we end up getting ourselves in the circle of life, and the circle of life goes kind of like this. The circle of life is like, well, who's married in the room? Okay, so most of y'all are married. If you're not married, if you're a kid, or maybe it's like a parent-child relationship, but I'm going to use marriage because I'm married, and you live through this at least once a week. It's like, hi, baby. Ooh, you're cute. Mm-hmm, I knew you thought so. Oh, I want to kiss you. I want you to kiss you. Mm, I love you so much. Oh, my God, oh, my God. I'm hungry. Oh, I'm hungry too. Well, you cooked dinner. What do you mean me cooked dinner? I cooked dinner last night. I know, but I did the dishes. You did the dishes, but they were dirty when they came out of the dishwasher. I had to redo them. Oh, really? Well, I didn't even like your cooking. I just didn't say nothing. Oh, really? Well, then fine. Cook your own food. I'm leaving to go get McDonald's. Oh, because McDonald's is better than your food. How many of y'all can handle real life? That's just the way it goes, right? Then 2 days goes by. She's sleeping on the couch. He's sleeping on the edge of the bed. He can't find his keys. She's hungry. I can't find my keys. I'm hungry. You help me find my keys, I'll make you a sandwich. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Your keys are in my pocket. Here's your keys.
Here's your sandwich.
You had a sandwich made? I knew you'd be hungry. You thought about me ahead of time?
I always think about you.
Oh, baby, you're so sweet. The circle of life. You know, the Bible says, Peter comes up to Jesus. He thinks he is a bad boy. He thinks he is a bad mamma jamma. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to show off for these other disciples. I'm Peter, you know, the one who cut off the guard's ear. I'm Peter, you know, I walked on the water. I mean, I know it fell in and it sank, but I mean, I walked on water. I'm your bad boy, Peter. So Peter's showing off for the disciples. He's like, Jesus, how many times a day should I forgive my brothers? 7 times. And Peter's thinking he's really cool. He's like, boom, drop the mic, walk away. Come on, somebody give me praise. Jesus is going to just like show me how good I am in front of my friends. And Jesus says, no, Peter, not 7 times a day, 70 times seven a day. Look at your neighbor right now and say, what'd she say? Because what we're talking about is we are talking about forgiving people 490 times a day for the exact same sin. If you are married, you understand why I'm talking about. I mean, I know that y'all love your Pastor David, and I know that he is cute and adorable, and you think he does nothing wrong. But when he tells me, Nick, I didn't mean it, I automatically hear in my head, yes, he did. And he tells you that joke about putting his dirty underwear on the ceiling fan, turning it off, and seeing where it lands. He's not joking. This is my life. I get tired of picking up dirty underwear just because you think it's funny, and you don't care till you're out. You'll wear the ones you got on inside out tomorrow. Right? 490 times a day, I gotta forgive the seat up, the spit in the sink, the dirty clothes, whatever. And God expects that of us so that we can live a peaceful life, so we can have joy in our heart, and so we can keep ourselves out of some sticky situations. I don't even know if I can get this hood on with these gloves on. I am just not geared up for this. You know, we're not geared up for this. We are not set up to try and walk around like this. But we try. We just think, we got this. God, I got this. I mean, I know what your word says, and just let them by, let them go, whatever. But Lord, I got this. I am cool. But see, God, you don't even understand Mildred, because Mildred, she is at my job. And if you were here, Lord, you would just send her to hell. She'd probably just be in a car wreck and it would be done. Because, you know, when we get upset, we go ahead and we just start clenching our fist. Now, if I have this above my head, is it in my best interest to get fist clenched right now? No. But you know, we know it's not in our best interest to talk bad about that person, to be mean because they were mean first, to be upset and let somebody ruin our day and all they did was drive by us. But we go ahead and we clench the fist. And we say, ugh, I cannot believe Mildred at work. She is just a pain in my rear. I mean, I don't even know why God created her. And she promoted Bob instead of me. And I mean, I know she doesn't like me just because, I mean, I think that she just thinks I might be smarter than her. And that promotion was supposed to be mine. But you know, she is a kiss up and I can't stand it. So then you have these shower conversations. And shower conversations are where you bring Mildred into the shower with you because she's just stuck to you everywhere you go. And then you know what? You go ahead and you throw Bob in there too. And then you just go ahead and reap sin upon yourself. You're like, God, I cannot stand these people in the name of Jesus. God, I need you to handle this. And Lord, they make me angry and I just do not like them. And I mean, I know I talked about them at work, but you would talk about them too. I think there should be a book in your Bible named Mildred. And talk about the woes of Mildred and how you had to just turn her into salt. And we have conversations with Mildred in our shower and we say, Mildred, I don't even know what you did. But here's what I'm going to do. Next time Mildred comes in and says that to me, I'm going to say, Mildred, you don't even know how much you need me at this job. And you know what I'm going to do? Next time you come in here, I'm just not going to do that report. And see how you like that with your boss, Mildred. And we're upset with Mildred. We're not even at work yet. And Mildred's at Starbucks drinking her coffee and reading her Bible. And we're a mess. And we get to work and we think we don't look funky and we don't look junky. We think we're great with our Jesus pin and the fact that we went to church on Sunday and we leave our bulletin on our desk just in case somebody wants to ask us if they want to go to church with us. And God is not excited about the way we look. God is not excited about what we're doing to our own bodies. God is not excited that we actually are putting ourselves in a position that he can't forgive us. What did you say, Pastor Nicole? You just said God can't forgive me? I didn't say it. The Bible did. You see, in Matthew 18, there's another story, and it's about a king, and this king is owed money by some people in his kingdom. So he calls this guy up, and he says, hey, you owe me money. I want you to pay me, and if you don't pay me, I'm going to put you in slavery, your wife in slavery, your kids in slavery, and your generations into slavery until you can pay me the $10 million that you owe me. And the man hits his knees and he says, oh, great and wonderful king, I am so sorry. I will work hard to repay you. Please give me time. I will do all to repay this debt. The king somehow just gets moved with compassion, and he says, you know what? Go ahead. I'm not only going to not put you in jail, not throw you into slavery, but I'm going to forgive the debt. You don't owe me a dime. You would think that that would make you just like, bah! You would be on Party Street. I don't owe $10 million. Oh, life is good. Woohoo. You would just be like, the sky would be bluer. The birds would be singing. Who owed it? Who's ever owed anybody any money in their life? Right? Okay, just pretend you got a phone call from the mortgage company. Your house is paid off. Your car is paid off. Your student loans are paid off. Your credit cards are paid off. You don't owe nobody nothing. You're starting to feel it, right? You would think he would be just in a wonderful place. But what does he do? He leaves and goes and finds a guy who owes him 100 denarii, which is literally 20 bucks. And he says to this guy who owes him 20 bucks, he's like, you owe me 20 bucks. Pay up right now. I am not playing. I am geared up. I'm sticky. I'm tarred. I'm feathered. I'm just ready to collect from you. I got my combat boots on. Pay up. And the guy says, oh, I want to pay you. I haven't had the money. Please, I will get right to work on paying you right now. Please have compassion on me. And the guy says, no, I'm not having compassion on you. You're going to jail right now until that money is paid. And sends the guy to jail over 20 bucks. He just got forgiven of 10 million bucks. Well, the king hears about it, calls him right back into his court. And he said, didn't I just forgive you a debt of $10 million? He says, yes. He said, but then you went and threw a guy in jail for 20 bucks? Yes. He says, you and your family are being sold into slavery, and I no longer forgive that debt because you didn't forgive somebody a smaller debt. Another place in the Bible, it talks about the speck that's in somebody else's eye that we say is such a problem. Oh, I cannot believe Mildred. Her new boyfriend, Christian girl, should not date boys like that. I'm just saying. Or we say, the way she talks to her. You hear the way Mildred talks to her mama on the phone during lunch. You should not smart talk your mom. Oh, my mama's calling me. Decline. We make fun of the speck and judge someone's speck in their eye. And God says, you've got this huge honking beam in your eye. What are you doing? God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to forgive so that we can be forgiven. But God's not just this big, mean God trying to not forgive us. God is a great God who's interested He's interested in the way we live our life. He's interested in us, our happiness. He's interested in Mildred and Bob's happiness. He's interested in us not being sick, not having tumors, not having high blood pressure. I mean, sure, he can heal us of these things, but is it better to be healed or something or never have it? He wants us to never have it. And our prayers are hindered when we get into unforgiveness. It puts a big block up between us and God. He can't hear what's going on in our life because we've put a blockade wall of unforgiveness in between the two. God doesn't want us to live like that. Look at your neighbor and say, God doesn't want that. Say, God wants the good. So how do we get out of this? How do we get out of this position? Well, my daughter likes to watch the Food Network, and I think the Food Network is stupid. All these people do is cook really fattening food in a really difficult recipe with ingredients I don't have in my house, that if I did have the ingredients, I couldn't cook it myself. And if I did cook it, if I ate it all, I would weigh 978 pounds. So I don't want to watch this because it just makes me hungry. Y'all don't get hungry when you watch Food Network. I get hungry. I look at Food Network. I'm like, I want to eat anything. Where's the popcorn? Where's the peanut butter? You're watching them. They're like making filet mignon with buttercrust crumbles, and then they're having tiramisu for dessert, and I have cheese and crackers. And so I'm finally, I've had enough. And I'm like, Ashton, I've had enough of Food Network. Change the channel. Would you please? It's making me crazy. I'm on the couch reading a book. And she said, but Mom, you've got the remote. The whole time. I've got the ability to change the channel in my hand. I have the ability to decide in my hand. I have the ability to choose in my hand, but the whole time I was putting it off on her. So we do that. We put it off on another person. I can't let it go because they've hurt me so bad. I can't let it go because who's going to make sure that they pay? Well, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen? And God's going to do one of two things. He's either going to change their heart, they're going to repent, and they're going to become a better person and not do that to anybody anymore, or he's going to take care of it. And how many of you know if you want to do your vengeance or he wants to do his vengeance, you know he can just do a real good job if he wants to, right? I mean, I guess God is good. I mean, I don't know. I could think about trusting him or thinking he was amazing, but I'm not sure, Pastor. You know, David was out in the yard, and he took pictures of these weeds. Would you guys share those with everybody for me? And he was taking pictures of these weeds, and there's these big weeds, and there was these little weeds. And it had actually not rained for a couple of days, so the ground was kind of dry. And when we went to pick one of the big weed just broke off on the top, and all the root was left in the ground. The little weeds, whenever you grabbed them, the whole weed came up. And that's kind of like bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts. If we let it go for a long time, if we don't forgive, those roots grow down around our heart. Not just our emotional heart, but our physical heart and congestive heart failure and COPD and arrhythmia and heart disease and high blood pressure and things start to happen. And they get into our organs and diabetes and stomach ulcers and upset and gastric reflux and all these things in our body start to happen as these roots go down and they start to literally strangle, clench fist our body parts. God doesn't like that. He says, no, if you will just pull those weeds early, if you realize they're coming and you go ahead and pull it out, just don't get upset. Just let it pass by. Just trust me to handle it. You can decide to give it to me, says God. And then I can pour out $10 million of forgiveness on you. And if God's giving out $10 million, how many of you want to be in that line? I'm in the $10 million line, God. I will take it. And in Luke, it says this. It says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Okay, that's pretty straightforward, right? Well, a lot of people don't know Luke 37, but they know Luke 38, which says, given, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And we're like, oh, when I give my offering, Jesus, I'm going to give. It's going to come back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Run it over to me, Lord. Run it over. Here I am. I receive it. I receive it, Jesus. But we don't think about that necessarily in forgiveness. But right before it says give, it says forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give.
Give what?
Give forgiveness.
And forgiveness will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Or change the word. Give unforgiveness, and unforgiveness will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And we don't want to walk in that place of unforgiveness because it just makes us like a grizzly bear. There was a grizzly bear in Yellowstone Park, and he was in the middle of the park eating campers' food, and all the campers were keeping their distance. All the deer were keeping their distance. All the squirrels were keeping their distance because nobody wanted to be around the grizzly bear. The conservationists were even back. Everybody was trying to formulate a plan, but nobody, not even the animals, were eating next to the grizzly bear. Everybody gave him his space. And finally, a skunk wanders into the middle of the scene. He doesn't just stay on the edge. He walks right next to the grizzly bear, sits down, and starts eating. They see the grizzly bear notice the skunk, and the grizzly bear goes right back to eating. A lady asked the conservationist, they said, why is the skunk eating but none of the other animals? And the conservationist said, because the grizzly knows the high price of getting even with the skunk. We can try and get even ourselves, or we can understand the high price on our health, on our life, on our spiritual life, on our future, on our friendships, on our relationships of trying to get even. If we want to be forgiven by God, he asks us to forgive. If we want to live in peace and joy, he asks us to forgive. And I'm going to close with a story of a remarkable woman. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. And in the Second World War, she was hiding Jews in her home, trying to save them, trying to feed them, trying to help them escape all of the tragedy that was happening. Well, her and her family were actually thrown into a concentration camp in Auschwitz because of them trying to help. She became a speaker, and she was asked to speak, and this is what she said. She said, my name is Corrie ten Boom, and I am a murderer. There was total silence. You see, when I was in prison camp, I saw the same guard day in and day out. He was then one who mocked and sneered at us when we were stripped naked and taken into the showers. He spat on us in contempt, and I hated him. I hated him with every fiber of my being. And Jesus says, when you hate someone, you are guilty of murder. When we were freed, I left Germany, and I vowed never to return. But I was asked to speak there years later. My first talk at the church was on forgiveness. Suddenly, as I was speaking, I saw to my horror that same prison guard sitting in the audience. There was no way he would ever recognize me, but I would never forget his face, never. It was clear to me from the radiant look on his face while I spoke that he'd become a Christian. After I finished speaking, he came up with a smile and said, "Dear Sister Corrie, isn't it wonderful how God forgives?" And he extended his hand for me to shake. All I felt as I looked at him was hate. I said to the Lord silently, there is nothing in me that could ever love that man. I hate him for what he did to me and my family. And you tell us to love our enemies. That is impossible for me, God, but nothing is impossible for you. You expect me to love this man, then it's going to have to come from you because all I have is hate. At that moment, I felt nudged to do only one thing. Put out your hand, Corrie. The Lord seemed to say, it took all the years that I had quietly obeyed God to do the hardest thing I had ever done in my life. I put out my hand. Something remarkable happened. It was only after my simple act of obedience that I felt something almost like warm oil, not sticky syrup, not a mess, a warm anointing oil poured over me. And with it came the unmistakable message, well done, Corrie. That's how my children behave. And the hate in my heart was absorbed and it was gone. And so one murderer embraced another murderer, but in the love of Christ. So what about you? Where do you need to extend forgiveness today? I have a hint. It's that one area that every time I talk about it, you kind of do this on the inside. That's where it's at. That's the block. That's the hindrance. That's the health problem. That's what's keeping back the blessing. Just go ahead and give it to God. Is it somebody in this room? Is it somebody at the house that you live in? Is it somebody at work? Is it somebody that's not even alive anymore? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to pray a prayer, and it's going to release prisoners. And the prisoners are not the people you are about to forgive. The prisoner that we are about to release is you. If you want me to pray this prayer with you right now and you're going to forgive someone in this moment, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you with every head bowed and every eye closed? Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, give us your grace, give us your mercy, give us your compassion, give us your strength so that we have the ability to let go, to unclench the fist, to trust you, to handle the situation. God, we do trust in you. You are our defense. You will not be moved. You are our rock and our strong foundation. We confidently rely and trust in you. And right now, God, we lift them up to you and we give them to you, and they are no longer our problem. They are no longer our offense, but God, we give them forgiveness. And God, the windows of heaven are opening right now, and forgiveness is coming, and kindness is coming, and relief is coming, and freedom is coming, and blessing is coming. As we move this block out of our way, God, great things in heaven are finally being moved. Shift is happening. Flood of favor is being released because we are putting ourselves in a position that we can be blessed. God, we give that forgiveness and we'll receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God a hand if you receive it today.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com.